Will they play by the rules? Better believe it.
This, as we like to say in this program,
is Felger and Mass.
Suck, suck, suck.
On 98.5.
Want to make that clear.
The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper joins us now in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He's brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Pick up all your Patriots playoff game essentials for Saturday night's game against Tennessee today at Stop and Shop. Details at stopandshop.com. Gasper, are we going to have a football game on Saturday night?
I don't think so.
Ugh.
I don't. I just don't think. I mean, first of all, I can't believe they're playing a team in the divisional round that allowed 36 touchdowns and scored 33 during the regular season. I mean, they gave up more touchdowns than they scored.
Yeah.
And just when you look at how Tennessee got here, beating Kansas City, do you feel like if they get down 21-3 to the Patriots, they can come back?
No!
I mean, Travis Kelce had to get knocked out of that game, and the quarterback had to throw a touchdown pass to himself. And the Chiefs had to be the Chiefs. So, you know, no disrespect to, as Rodney Harrison used to say, no disrespect, but I don't think Tennessee has the personnel to win this game unless...
No, you mean every bit of disrespect is what you mean, but go ahead.
Well, that's the whole point. Rodney used to say no disrespect and then totally disrespect you. So that's why I'm just parroting him. The only way I think they can win this game or make it close is if the Patriots are complicit in their own demise. If they come out and they're sloppy and there are turnovers and they're busting coverages. You know, the stuff we saw from the defense in the first four games of the year and some of the stuff we saw from the offense in the last five or six games. If you get that combined, then, yeah, sure, Tennessee can hang around. But I think, really, for Tennessee to hang around or win this game, the Patriots have to beat themselves.
And that's it. So you're saying there's no, if it's a straight-up game, they just don't have it.
I just don't think they have the personnel to do it.
Even if they wanted to, right? Even if they, which is a way of saying, even if they did the right things and middle rushed or, you know, the things that you have to do, clamp down on the outside,
yeah.
Do they have the personnel to do it?
I think they have the personnel to generate some pass rush, but again, to go back to that Houston game last year where Brady was poor. I mean, it was lowest completion percentage in a playoff game ever. But there were some, you know, mitigating circumstances there. One, there was no Gronkowski in that game, so Houston didn't have to worry about that. You're dealing with the Houston coaching staff with Vrabel and O'Brien and Romeo Crennel that had intimate knowledge of Brady and the way he wants to play. So that's a little bit different. I mean, Logan Ryan faced him in practice and was his teammate, but it's not the same thing. And three, Houston had elite cornerback play last year, in my opinion. Kareem Jackson, A.J. Boye, Jonathan Joseph was the third corner. I don't see that from Tennessee. We know who Logan Ryan is. He's a very good number two corner. Adoree Jackson's been a nice rookie. They like this kid, Ty Smith, who's been playing for them, but I don't think that's the same caliber. So everyone says, hey, Dick LeBeau, you have to get out of your soft serve zone defenses, as Bedard put it, and play more man. And that's something, you know, that LeBeau understands and has been doing the last couple of years. That's great. So you play more man, but you still have to win those man-to-man matchups. And are you going to be able to do that if Chris Hogan is back, Gronkowski is healthy, James White is back there? Are they going to be able to win those man-to-man matchups play after play? I just don't think they have the personnel to do it.
Does Mariota have the ability at his ceiling, does he have the ability to do what Cam Newton did to you earlier in the year, or Deshaun Watson did to you earlier in the year, or Alex Smith? You know, it's one of these quarterbacks who can run and, you know, make plays and get hot.
Yes.
Does he have the ability to really hurt you?
Yes, he does.
You think
so? I think he does. And that's
does he have the receivers?
No. That's the other thing. I don't think they're good enough on the outside, on either side of the ball. Corey Davis has been a little bit of a disappointment for them, the rookie. Eric Decker, I don't think he's the player that he used to be. He was a great player in Denver, and even with the Jets, he's not the same guy. I like Rishard Matthews. He's tough, but he's more of a possession guy. And Delanie Walker is a tight end who's really, I think, their best player in the passing game. But you know Bill's going to take him away. He's not going to let Delanie Walker beat him. So I don't think he has the weapons to do it. You know, can he do it? If he does it all on his own offensively, then it's one of those, like, a star is born moments, you know, for Marcus Mariota. It's like, okay, this guy just made the leap. Because if they're going to win, he's going to have to make all those guys around him on offense better. Better than they really are.
Okay, those are game thoughts. How about off-field thoughts?
Yeah.
A week after the ESPN article, all the
you guys still talking about that?
Of course. Yeah, we will for about 10 years, Chris.
Okay.
With every game,
maybe longer.
With every game Garoppolo wins, it remains a story. And right now he's undefeated and will be for the next 6 to 8 months. So it's not going anywhere.
It's funny, though. No one ever mentions the you know, he was great. They went 5-0. You know, he threw 5 interceptions? He's 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
6-5, I believe.
I thought it was 7.
Whatever.
I'm giving your guy an extra TD. But the point is, Brady throws 5 interceptions in 5 games, and it's like, oh my God, he you know, they're readying the casket for him.
Garoppolo
goes 5-0, and throws five picks in five games, and it's like he's Aaron Rodgers. It's just interesting.
He's a little loose with the ball. He's gonna have to watch that going forward. I don't dispute that one bit. But what's your reaction to the reaction? You know, I mean, where we stand here a week later.
A week, I don't think it's going to affect them on the field. I think the story was absolutely legit. I think all that stuff is very real. And I've said this to you guys before. You know, I think Bill got caught in the rare situation where he got stripped of leverage. I think he got stripped of leverage by his boss, Robert Kraft. I think he got stripped of leverage by Don Yee, who represented both quarterbacks. And the only way to have both guys be happy was to have it end up the way it ended up, which is Jimmy somewhere else where he's going to play and he's going to get paid like a starter. And Tom is still here with nobody behind him, nobody breathing down his neck, no real option for Bill Belichick to move on from him. And I think that's sort of what happened, and that's the situation. And if you're Bill and you invested that time and effort into Jimmy and the second round pick that you put into him and the time you were meeting with him every week, the same way you'd meet with the starter, and in the end you get stripped of this guy for reasons that are out of your control, I'd be a little ticked and I'd be a little bitter too.
Ian Rappaport tweeted again, apparently, that Cleveland never offered a first-round pick. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I think it's pretty much like semantics. You know, it's like the whole, like, did they make a contract offer to Garoppolo? Was it like a formal offer? You know, was it? And here's the thing. Let's say Cleveland never offered a first-round pick. Everybody here, you know, Michael, you worked. Mary Kay Cabot's a fantastic reporter out in Cleveland. And she was putting stuff out there about what the Browns were willing to give up for Garoppolo. So if the Browns call Bill and say, hey, we want to talk Garoppolo, and he says, not interested, hangs up, then Bill can turn around and say, well, Cleveland never offered a first-round pick. Isn't that factually accurate?
Of course.
And that's the type of half-truth that they love to deal in over there, and that's why I just don't buy that. You know, there might have been it might be true that Cleveland never offered a first-round pick, but there's also probably another part of that where they're hanging up the phone on Cleveland, and it never got to the point where Cleveland could offer anything because they said, we're not trading him, we're not interested, which is what Schefter was reporting.
So you believe Cleveland was willing to offer first
round
picks?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. And other teams were willing to offer first-round picks, and San Francisco probably would have given you a first-round pick if you let them make an offer at the spring. And this is one you do have on record where John Lynch said, they never even let me make an offer when I called them at the draft last spring. So they obviously could have gotten more, and that to me remains the outrageous part, is what, you know, the return on that trade was just putrid.
Well, the question is, you know, it's always one of those things, you do what's in the best interest of the team, and
not in this case.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, Felge, because I think in this case he wanted to do right by Jimmy, which I think is admirable, to be honest. I think he also wanted to see the guy succeed to sort of prove his point. You don't want to send him somewhere where he gets terrible coaching and he doesn't work out, and, you know, your whole point was sort of, let's move on to this guy, he can be a great quarterback. Because then it makes you look wrong. So I think that's human nature, and that was part of it.
Okay, I don't think it's going to affect him this playoffs. In fact, if anything, I think it actually might help him, galvanize him a little bit. It's just a story, right? It's just a media story, which they can bat down with the best of them. Like, that's not an issue. The issue are the real problems inside the building, which I think will be an off-season thing, you know? And do you think it affects them long-term, Chris, in terms of Bill's willingness to stay here long term as long as he would have before, or Brady's trust in his coach? It's like those big picture things.
I think it depends on how the season ends. You know, winning's the ultimate deodorant. If they win a Super Bowl, I think, you know, maybe they never had that meeting that Seth Wickersham was referring to that was supposed to take place in December and didn't, because they won and everybody's just experiencing the afterglow, and it's, we did it again, and everybody remembers why the relationship, you know, why the three-headed monster works. If they lose and it's a bitter, disappointing end to the season, then they probably need to address these issues and have a discussion and figure out where everybody stands. You know, it's interesting. The Gary Myers stuff that keeps coming out of New York, and the fact that the Giants haven't, you know, made a hire yet. Now, look, that could be related to Patricia waiting for him. You hear
it, Chris.
He's the number one guy.
Do it.
So there's, but the longer that goes,
do it,
the more you start to think, okay, is there something to this? Because Gary Myers is relentless with these stories. You know, it's not like he's giving up. I mean, you keep hearing, you know, he wrote the one a couple of days ago about the three first round picks. And I don't know. It's one of those things where you look at it and you think, the longer this goes, where there's smoke, is there actually fire?
Love it. Put that on your podcast, kid. That'll work.
Okay.
Bedard wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That's clickbait.
Well, here's the thing.
That's too interesting.
Here's the thing I'd say about that, though. If they have to give up three first-round picks for Bill, I think Bill would be like, I'm not going. Like, so now you want me to rebuild your team?
Right.
But you just stripped me of three first-round picks to get me? I'm no idiot. The other thing on that that's weird is Bill's not someone who makes sentimental decisions when it comes to football. To me, going to the Giants would be a completely sentimental decision. It would not be the best decision from a business. It would be an emotional, sentimental decision. And his MO is not to make decisions that way.
He's not going to the Giants. I mean, they're better than 3-13.
Would you let Chris just float it, though, please?
They're better than 3-13, though, even without the pick in the short term. They got talent.
Yeah, you get the pick. You get the quarterback.
You got Odell Beckham. They had a lot of injuries this year.
Navy.
Lot.
Navy. Oh, here you go. Navy.
All right. Yeah. Chris is joining us here this hour. We'll take your phone calls with him right after this.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet.
From 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are you willing to do and what are you willing to give up to be the best you can be? You only have so much energy, and the clock's ticking on all of us. If you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life, because I'm giving up on
you. End zone touchdown!
Jay-Z taught us 30 is the new 20, and Tom Brady is showing us 40 is the new 30.
There's a warrior spirit about me. I'm always in competition with myself.
You know, I have to say, I don't think I've ever met anyone that loves to do something as much as he loves football.
You don't want to make sacrifices for your sport, but when you have a family, you do. When I see myself out there, I feel like, man, I still do this and I do it better than I've ever done it, so why should I stop?
You probably had your shirt off doing curls while that was going on, huh?
Well, I do have to tell you guys, for Christmas, I got the Under Armour PJs. I've never slept better.
Oh, I bet.
How do you feel about this?
It's interesting. I think the timing of it is interesting. I think people are forgetting that he announced a while back that he was doing this religion of sports thing. So that wasn't surprising. I'm intrigued to see what it is. It's a behind-the-scenes look at his life and what the workout regimen is. And I want to see really how much he divulges about his personal life, not just what the workout. In other words, is this like a Richard Simmons video, or are we going to actually learn about Tom Brady and what he's like?
He sounds humble. I mean, really, I'd say it will do wonders for his image. There's a warrior spirit about me.
Do you find this relatable, Chris? Do you think this series will be like, wow, yeah, no, my day is just like that?
Yeah, I mean, I too am doing curls out by the beach in Costa Rica with my supermodel wife. I think it's very relatable,
Jim. Listening to Elton John.
Also, of course, Jim Murray couldn't help himself, so Jim Murray put this together.
What are you willing to do, and what are you willing to pay to be just like me? You've only got so much money, and I've got all these protein bars to sell. If you're going to get brainwashed by me, you better be willing to give up your life, because I've given up mine.
End zone touchdown!
Now 40 and entering his 18th season, Brady is an expert at beating the clock in more ways than one.
There's a warrior spirit about me. I'm always in competition with myself and my wife's bank account.
I have to say, I hate that he's still playing football, but at least he's finally cashing in on that beautiful face.
When I see myself out there, I feel like, man, I still do this, and I do it better than I've ever done it before. So why the hell aren't you buying my $200 vibrating foam roller? Pliability! Pliability! It's going to make you better!
Tom versus Time.
Yeah, that's like the real version. That's the one that got left on the cutting room floor. I find that far more accurate.
The part of the timing I find interesting, Chris, is it's playoff week and it's all about the Patriots and here comes this thing, me, which is, again, what sort of stands out, but this is where Brady is at his stage.
Here's where I will be sort of critical of Tom. I thought early in his career he didn't do enough to capitalize on his brand. And obviously, that change, he realizes that now. But now it seems like it's like a rush and he's trying to cram it all in. Cram in 18 years worth of promotion in the last 3 or 4 years of his career. And I think for some people, they're going to, like Jim, they're going to find that highly aggravating. And if he had just been sort of doing this in a Peyton Manning-esque way all the way along, I don't think people would be as bothered by it. But it definitely feels like he's like, all right, I have to do this now. I have to ramp this up now. And there's a lot more promotion and marketing of products than before. And honestly, I have a hard time keeping track. I'm like, wait, what now? Like, what am I supposed to be interested in? I almost wonder a little bit if it's really having the effect that his people want it to have, because there's too many different things he's pitching and I can't keep track of it.
And there's also a little bit of a backlash, when you just get oversold something. And I think you saw it this week, that video drops and most people mocked it. So, calls, as promised, here with Gasper. Michael in Medford. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, yesterday you were talking about his personality and character. And when you were talking about that, the funny thing that came to my mind was a couple of years ago they showed a clip on TV where he's jumping off a ledge on vacation into a pool of water with his kid there. And I'm wondering, gee, if a bubble of red liquid appears at the surface, what does he do now? A risk taker, basically. And then we wonder why he might have concussions. God knows what else he might be doing off the field.
So that's not the piece that concerns me, Michael. I don't think he's going to... If he hurts himself rock jumping or skiing, then you know we have a whole other story. But I'm not going to worry about that right now. The thing that stands out to me, Chris, is I wonder, how important is that brand to him? I mean, it is super important to him. And I would never say that it's more important to him than football, but it feels like it's getting close. Like, why is he still playing? You ask, why is he still playing? Is he still playing to prove that he's the best? He's already proven it. Is he still playing because he wants championships? Well, he's already won more than anyone's ever won.
Yeah.
Is he still playing because he enjoys the locker room, the camaraderie of the guys? I don't think that exists anymore because he's twice.
I think that, you know, I heard you say that the other day. I think there's guys he's close with. I think you oversold that.
No, he's close with Edelman.
I mean, he's not mussing, you know, the hair of reporters like he used to do, but he's still, you know, Michael. But he still has camaraderie with the guys. And I think that's the first thing players say when they retire.
No question.
That they miss is the clubhouse or the locker room or whatever,
no
that
question,
vibe.
But I don't... Look, I'm not in there anymore, so I guess I'm not... I'm not in a position to say. All I know is if I were him, if I were 40 and had three kids, never mind the superstardom. I'm just about 40 and three kids at home versus the 22-year-old kid just coming into the locker room and hitting the clubs. I'm not hanging with the kids either. It's not a knock. I'm just saying I don't think that's a reason he would keep playing is the camaraderie of the fellas because I wonder if he is still in that world. I think he's unto himself, as I would be too.
As you would be, as you are.
As I am.
Yes, exactly.
So, but again, that's not a knock. Don't be sensitive about that. Why is he still playing? Is he playing for the brand or is he playing for the football?
What's the officer and a gentleman, Richard Gere? I got nowhere else to go. Like that. I don't think he knows himself outside of football. It's how he defines himself. I think he even had a quote about playing quarterback in some interview he did. You know, it's not just a job. It's who I am.
Oh, but I think he's found his calling, Chris.
Well, he's transitioning into something else, Chris. He is. I mean, there's no two ways about it. So the question is, you know, like you say, how important, how much of his attention is now being deflected toward that?
And it's not just that. It's why are you playing? Why are you playing? And I think it's fair to ask, is he playing just to springboard TB12?
I don't think that's why he's playing. I don't. I think that's ridiculous. I think he is certainly taking advantage of his career and realizing he's closer to the end to say, okay, I should do some of this promotional stuff I didn't do. But I think
Chris, it's gone beyond that.
But I think he's playing because he loves the game and because this is how he defines himself. What's going to fill that void in his life?
TB12. He clearly loves the game. I'm not telling you that TB12 is more important, but I'm telling you that it's really, really important. It's never been more important.
Well, he believes in it.
And it's his calling, Chris. So to say that he's lost without football, maybe 5-10 years ago you could say that. Not now. He's all set. He's hit the ground running for this life after football, Chris.
I know what you guys are saying. I think that's easy to say now when he has football and TB12. Do you think he's going to feel just as fulfilled when it's just the TB12 thing? I don't.
Well, I mean, I can't tell you that. I don't know that. All I'm wondering is, I asked this to Maz too, and to people just in your mind's eye. When you hear Tom Brady speak, any sort of public interaction you get with him, online, in an interview, wherever you consume Tom Brady, what's he talking about? The Patriots or the other thing?
TB12.
And I'll tell you, it's 50-50 or 60-40. It's close.
As I told you the other day, it feels to me like there's more passion about him talking about TB12. And Chris, don't misinterpret that.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's not passionate about football. I'm just telling you that he is clearly interested in talking about TB12. Between the magazine interviews and the podcasts and everything else, it is something he is absolutely interested in talking about.
And look, in a lot of cases, this serves both things. The fact that he wants to play to 45 because that helps the business, well, that helps you. And the fact that he wants to stay on top and be in amazing shape because it helps the business, it also helps you. So I think that in a lot of cases, it helps both parties. And so it's a win-win. I'm just telling you, I think you get to dangerous territory when a guy's playing for the business and the brand and that part of it versus the other part of it. And I wonder if he's getting to that territory.
I mean, I don't think he's Ben Roethlisberger where every year he's like, I don't know if I want to do this. Oh, but TB12, I better keep playing to make sure people have TB12 in their mind and I can promote. Like, I don't think that's what it is. And I remember doing an interview with him a couple of years ago, like a phone interview, and I was asking him about sort of this stuff, you know, how do you sustain, you know, whatever he says, peak performance or whatever the catchphrase is, and he didn't want to talk about any of it. Like, he's been doing this stuff for a while, and he wouldn't say a thing because it was like a competitive edge thing. I think as he's gotten older, and probably people in his life have influenced him into saying, hey, you're going to have to do something when football's over. I know you don't want to think about that, but you should, and you should take advantage of your celebrity and your brand to set yourself up for that a little bit, and you should share, you know, what you're doing. And I think he's embraced that. He's embraced that the same way he does, you know, football. If he's going to do something, he's going to do it full go. But I don't see it as any sort of issue for the Patriots. And again, he's been doing this for a while.
You haven't seen TB12 be an issue for the Patriots?
Well, I mean, it's not an issue. It's not an issue in terms of his dedication to the team. Let me put it like that. I don't think that it's taking away from his ability to perform. I think it's the opposite. And you just said it. If it weren't for all this stuff, whether it works or what, I don't know if it works or not, whatever. It could just be a placebo, but whatever it is, it works for him, and it has him playing at an MVP level. Ultimately, that's good for the Patriots. You just said that.
Oh, yes, sure. But if you ask Bill Belichick, has TB12 gotten in the way? How do you think he'd answer?
Oh, yeah, he would say absolutely. But, I mean, that's because Bill wants it to be, you know, all about the team. And I understand that, and I respect that. That's fine. And I think Tom abided by that for so long. Who's to say you can't have both? Like, you can't have somebody capitalizing on being the greatest quarterback of all time and also have a team that plays for each other and plays with a selfless spirit. I think you can have both. I mean, and let's be honest about it, too. I mean, Bill has his own stuff. He has the Bill Belichick Foundation that he promotes, and they do great work, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. Bill has his own things
that
he does. Are
you going to compare that to what Tom's doing?
No, but I'm just saying he's taking advantage of his celebrity.
Okay, not like this, Chris. This is a different category.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that. Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, he traded Parcells, didn't he?
It's different, though. I mean, this is the greatest of all time.
He didn't want Parcells there anymore, anyhow. So, I mean, yeah, it's totally different. I talked to somebody yesterday who, if anything you could say that he would err on the side of the Giants in this, in saying what he thinks the compensation should be. And he told me 3 number one picks. Weesh. And I said, come on. And he said, no. He said, Robert Kraft didn't get to be a billionaire. And I wrote this column this morning. It's online now. He said, Robert Kraft didn't get to be a billionaire and built the best organization in the NFL, and he's just going to lay over and say, okay, you want him, take him. He goes, it's 3 number one picks. Now, I think that's a little excessive, despite, you know, everything Bill's accomplished. And it's only excessive in my mind because he's 65 years old. And, you know, even if he coaches another 5 or 6 years, that's still a lot to give up for a short period of time. But if you give up that much and he produces one Super Bowl championship in that period of time, then it's worth it.
Hey, Bill, there was a report in the New York Daily News this weekend that you would have some interest in coaching the Giants. I just want to see if there's any truth to that.
Right now, my interest is trying to do the best I can for our football team to get ready for Saturday night against Tennessee. That's where my total focus is.
I mean, is your intention definitely to be back with the Patriots next season?
Absolutely.
No.
Okay, is it your intention to definitely be back with the Patriots next season? Absolutely.
Now, that was a conference call, right?
Yes.
So, if there's a here's the thing about those conference calls. If there's a pause, I would just say, from what I've seen, both the video and what I've heard from people with the Patriots, the conference call does not always have Bill's full attention.
Oh, no.
He might be really multitasking. So it's entirely possible that he was doing something else when that question was asked, and then that's why there was such a long pause.
Okay, forget the pause. How about the... Absolutely.
You like the added effect that he puts on that, Chris?
Well, I do.
With the shrug.
Well, but Gasper did float it earlier. I mean, you did say in your first segment that... I don't know. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
Yeah. Oh,
but
I'm not completely ruling it out. I would not completely rule it out. And the longer that Giants situation doesn't have a clear resolution, and there's not something out of New York saying that they're going to hire Matt Patricia as soon as the Patriots season ends, and right now they're the favorite, and you play that Gary Myers sound, yeah, I mean, I can't completely rule it out. I can't, because if he's ever going to make that move, it sounds like the time is now. But what I would say is that I think it's very, very, very unlikely, because a lot of the reasoning behind the move seems to be emotional and sentimental, you know, emotional in terms of, I don't like what you did to me here, you know, Mr. Kraft, and sentimental in terms of, oh, the Giants, I love that place, and, you know, the Belichick of football life, he's crying at the old Meadowlands. Like, I just don't think that's the way he makes decisions. So maybe he would consider it, but then he'd look at it and say, oh, you know, oh no, they're going to get 3 first-round picks for me and I have to rebuild that team? No, forget it. I don't care.
Adam in South Boston. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, good show. Look, so first of all, let me tell you something. If avocado ice cream and organic almond crotch milk were a stock, I would short it right now and I'll be rich in like a year or two. Brady's literally promoting a product that hasn't even been proven yet. He hasn't played until he's 45. He's still 40. He's not the only quarterback to play until he's 40. I mean, I just can't believe he would take the risk to look like such a putz if he gets hurt or declines in a year or two. I mean, what's sad about this whole situation is Tom might not hurt his legacy, you know, as the best of all time, but he's pissing off the only fans who like him, which are Pats fans. People hate him everywhere else. And, I mean, even if we had Jimmy G, I don't even think as a whole it would just work, because look at our team as a whole. Edelman's going to be 32 coming off an ACL injury. Cooks is gone. I mean, Cooks is on a one-year deal. He didn't mesh with Brady. Amendola's going to be 32. Malcolm Butler's furious. He's going to leave after the Stephon Gilmore. McCourty's 31. Imagine Gronk in his early 30s. I mean, I think it's all going to decline very soon.
Adam, let me just stop you. The risk with Brady is associating with Alex Guerrero, who is sketch as the day is long. And I think there is a risk in him doubling down, Tom versus time. Like, he's sort of acting like he's beaten time. Which is, you know, if he suffers an injury, all of a sudden it looks like he's lost to time. So that is a risk. If he was just straight out selling us a shoe, which I said the other day, he'd sort of be better off.
But if he wins the MVP at 40, you don't think he'd beat time?
Oh, no, yes. No, but there's risk on the downside. There's risk on the downside that if he gets hurt...
I think he's already beating time.
I was just about to say that, Chris. I'm with Chris on this one.
He's already won.
I don't know that the damage is as great as we'd like to think.
Okay, so then fine. The other thing I was going to say, though, what was that? Oh, the roster.
Yeah.
The roster, his points, the caller's points on the roster is legit. They are thin, especially on defense, I think. I don't know. The roster's thin. They have no first or second round pick on the team from the last 2 years. Like, that's a big gap that they have to start filling.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Cooks, they did pick up that fifth-year option on him. So, and I know he's been a polarizing player for a lot of fans. I tend to give him a little more leeway than others. I think Hightower's back. Look, they need to do a better job, I think, in the draft, and that's certainly the charge. I think this year they sort of punted on the draft, and the idea was to go all in with these veteran guys. And remember the thing they tweeted out, you know, here's our second-round pick is this guy, and, you know, third-round pick, Coney Ealy, all that stuff or whatever it was. So they sort of went for expediency and at the expense of the long-term. And they're going to have to flip that around a little bit. But, I mean, they did go 13-3 without two of their top five players. So how bad could the roster be?
If I'm them, I draft a slot receiver. I do.
To me, and we're not talking about the here and now. We're talking about in the future. I think the roster's as thin as it's been in a long, long time. You're signing a piece of garbage like James Harrison at the end of the year. I mean, what does that tell you? That you know, so... I think they have some issues.
Yeah, but let's see. So you say that, and you're right. But here's the thing. So what happens if Derek Rivers... who was their first pick in the draft last year, can actually play, and he's missed the entire season with an injury. He comes back next year, and he can actually play. What if he's as good as Dietrich Wise?
That's a big one.
That's a big one,
no,
right? So, I mean, you don't know. They have some of these guys they drafted, Tony Garcia, the left tackle. Like, these guys are either, you know, hurt or basically got redshirt years, and we're not counting them, and they might be able to make a contribution. Can they? I have no clue. I'm just saying it would be so Patriots for these guys who didn't play, were hurt all year, to come in next year and, you know, play like basically the Ben Simmons of the NFL when they actually play.
No, it's true. I just think they made it hard on themselves by they haven't made a first-round pick in two going, you know, this will be their first-round pick in 3 years. And their second-round picks, you know, haven't, so, like, they have no first and second-round picks
on the
roster.
By the way, when Landon Collins said he'd spoken to guys who played in New England and it's not fun, how much you want to bet that was Cyrus Jones? his teammate from Alabama. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got Pete in Westminster on Robert Soucy interview from last hour. Thanks for hanging on. Pete, what do you got? Hello, Pete. So maybe he hasn't hung on. Pete's in Milton. Hi, Pete.
Hey, quickly, and I think you guys touched on it, but Isaiah Thomas looked brutal last night, and I think the potential for that Eastern Conference Finals, I think that becomes more and more interesting by the day. But quickly, and I know you guys probably don't want to talk a ton of Red Sox, but Tony, for you especially, my question is, today versus this day last year, is this Red Sox team more or less likable?
It's easy.
And quickly...
let's just stop right there.
It's easy. Less likable. They've lost into the playoff series. They haven't added anything to the team. Dombrowski has failed to make any sort of significant acquisition or move. Less likable. What, do you think they're more?
No.
Chris, you think they're more likable than a year ago at this time?
No, I don't.
No, I think
Gene
they're actually
Stewart,
completely irrelevant.
Yankee talk, keep talking, Yankee talk.
The word I always use is interesting. Likable or not, I don't know.
They're the fourth team in the market right now.
Compelling? Interesting?
Compelling's a good word.
Less compelling, less interesting, and they weren't compelling or interesting last year.
Okay, I will go with less likable and less compelling. Okay, I'll say less on both. How about that? And just quickly, because I meant to, it's just a quick throwaway thing. Okay, but the other day with the Astros and the Gerrit Cole, you know what that's all about? The Yankees. The Astros are now in an arms race with the Yankees. That's entirely what it's about. The Red Sox aren't even on their radar. They are not even on their radar. Houston sees one team right now as a threat, and that's New York because of Giancarlo Stanton.
Isaiah Thomas and the Cavs. We talked quite a bit about this the first couple hours. Chris, what are we seeing there? Is this just another year where Cleveland has issues in the middle of it? They fire a coach, they figure it out, and blow doors the rest of the way, or is this time different?
I don't know, but just to speak to Isaiah, because I did want to speak to that, I think what's interesting and what I certainly forgot and other people forgot here is how much of a defensive liability he could be at times, and it got covered up here by Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart. Who's going to cover it up in Cleveland? I totally thought Ty Lue was talking about IT when he said guys with agendas. Because I think IT's agenda is to get paid and to prove that the Celtics made a mistake. And what, he missed his first 11 shots in that game?
Yep, 0 for 10.
Yeah. And so, and look, he's trying to work his way back in from the hip injury, but also he has a lot on the line personally. And it seemed like that was what Ty Lue was referring to. Because they asked him, I read Dave McMenamin, worldwide leader, and he was asking a bunch of the players, he asked Kevin Love, he asked LeBron. I didn't see Isaiah quoted there, in that sort of agenda thing. So I thought that was, and again, we forget overall that defensively, he's limited because of his size. And who's going to cover up for him there?
How come Crowder can't cover for him there?
Crowder hasn't been as good.
He wasn't that good here either.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought Crowder was overrated, but even thinking he was overrated, he hasn't had the impact that Cleveland thought he would have.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blunt force trauma.
We're going to run it right down their throat.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I have a great relationship with Coach Belichick. We've worked together for 18 years. There's no coach I'd rather play for. And I've loved my experience here. I certainly couldn't be the player I am today without playing for such a great coach.
In a vacuum, how do you think the Patriots are playing?
In a vacuum?
In a vacuum.
I would say mediocre.
Meaning, I'm not talking about the matchup with Tennessee or who's going to win or lose. I mean, how have they played in the last month? And is that a factor going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've been underwhelming. I think for a team that always preaches peak and play your best football after Thanksgiving, they absolutely have not done that. I don't think they've done that. I think their best football was that middle stretch of the year between the first four games and Thanksgiving. They have not played their best football.
So what's that going to mean?
I don't think it's really going to mean anything, because I think you reset come playoff time, and I think at that point the opponent does have something to do with it. But if you really, because I know you're looking for a take here, my take is that I absolutely think Pittsburgh could come in here and win that AFC Championship game. I really do. And we talked about this the other night on NBC Sports Boston. You look at that game and from a Pittsburgh standpoint, and you think they say, oh my God, we can't beat these guys. And it's like a PTSD situation. I feel the complete opposite. I think they look at it and say, we should have won it. Jesse James should have held on to the ball. He kind of did. We got screwed on the call. We didn't have Antonio Brown for most of that game. He's our best player. We didn't have Joe Hayden. He's our best corner. And we still were right there with those guys. And if Keith Butler doesn't revert to Keith Butler and call that stupid zone blitz on the Patriots touchdown drive. I mean, you could see Tomlin look at him like, what are you doing? Like, the whole game, we followed our game plan, and now you're going to run this zone blitz this guy out of the slot on this play? Like, what are we doing here? So you look at all those things. If you're Pittsburgh, it could be one of those situations like when Baltimore came here in 2012, and it's like close, finally over the hump.
So interesting. I just was thinking about the Tomlin thing. Why didn't he put the microphone down on his headset and say, we're not going to call that?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be his style.
No,
right?
It is. It is.
Maybe he was listening to Zoe and Sosie. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. Communication seems to be an issue there because he seems to relay stuff to the coordinators, and then it doesn't make it to the players, if you recall.
Well, and you know what? The communications aren't going to get any better in Foxborough, because one of the last times Tomlin was up here, he was getting Zoe in his headset on the sideline.
Yep.
I listened to the Patriots radio broadcast.
So do we have Pittsburgh, New England? This is just a perfunctory entree before we get that AFC title game?
That's what I think it is. I mean, I know the folks at 345 Park Avenue, the NFL headquarters, are really rooting for that Jacksonville-Tennessee AFC title game. I know in their heart of hearts that's what they want in this year of declining ratings. But I think they're going to have to settle for Pittsburgh, New England.
So you know what? Someone else mentioned that to me today. Can you imagine if that happened?
Oi.
Because, you know, it kills the Super Bowl, too.
Well, if that happens, if it's Jacksonville-Tennessee AFC Championship game, we all know it's party at Murray's. That's your kind of football.
Oh, yeah.
That's your kind of game.
That's the bad football championship right there, man.
That's a bad football bonanza.
It's a lot of fun bad with a 9-7 final written all over it.
All right, do we have a Gasper and Murray tomorrow?
We do. We have the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon as well. We'll talk to B-Rob, kind of get a half-season assessment and a little bit of a recap of how the game went in London. Want more on the Cavs from Gasper. And, yeah, so 11-2 tomorrow right here on the Sports Hub.
Do you realize the Celtics have already won 6 games in which they've been down by 15 points or more?
I think there's a... they have even a better record, down 20 or more. Or no, it's
12 or more. They're 9-4.
So maybe that's it. That's unbelievable.
It is. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like, you know, they get you right where they want you when they get down 20.
All right, Chris, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.